Good morning. It's good to be back with you after a few days off last week. Not off for a fun reason, but off because of complications with the weather going a little crazy towards the middle of last week. I was unable to record. I had a funeral one day that's pulled me away all day long. And then, of course, we lost power for a couple of days. So it's been a chaotic few days, but I'm glad to be back with Rooted in Christ with you, continuing in our time in Amos. So today, in Rooted, we're going to be looking at Amos chapter 6. If you remember last week when we read, the Lord through Amos told the people what he expected. Verse 24 said, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." So we saw the Lord show the people what his expectations were for them. So let's see how they stack up. And the next few chapters are going to be dealing with how they stack up against God's idea. And so let's read chapter 6. "And for those who are at ease in Zion, for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria, the notables on the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel resorts, come over to Calmel and see. Go to Hamath the Great and go down to Gath the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is your territory greater than their territory? Oh, that you that put far away the evil day and bring near a reign of violence. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp like David, improvise on strings of music, and drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils. But are you not grieved over the ruin of Joseph? Therefore, they shall now be the first who go into exile, and the reverie of the loungers shall pass away. The Lord God has sworn by himself, says the Lord, the host of hosts, I abhor the pride of Jacob, and I hate his stronghold. I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. If 10 people remain in one house, they shall die. If a relative of one burns the dead, shall take up the body and bring them out of the house, and shall say to someone in the innermost part of the house, is anyone else with you? The answer shall be no. The relative shall say, hush, we must not mention the name of the Lord. See, the Lord commands the great houses to be shattered to bits and the little houses to pieces. Do horses run on rocks? Does one plow the sea with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice in Lodabar, who say, have we not by our own strength taken Karshan into ourselves? Indeed, I am rising against you a nation, O house of Israel, says the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall oppress you from Lebohatham to the Wadi Araba." So we see the Lord here speaking to his people. Remember, this is to the northern kingdom. Mount Samaria is where the capital of Israel is. The Lord is speaking to his people, and there seems to be two or three major things that he is rebuking the people over. First, primarily, all of this is their pride. This all seems to be driven by their pride. So he says, look, those of you that are up high, that are lifted up, that are above everyone else, look to these other nations, the Philistines, Hamath, Kalna. And say, are you better than them? Are you better than these kingdoms? And look what has happened to them. They have been judged. So what makes you think that you are above judgment? And that's verses 1 through 3. And then 4 through 7 really is a critique of their pride. They're really of their pride and their distance and their lack of caring for those in need. You lie on beds of ivory, lounge on couches, sing idle songs, drink wine from bowls, anoint themselves with the finest oils. But are you not grieved over the ruin of Joseph? In other words, you have so very much. And do you not care that there is such need or want all around you? Do you not care as you sit in your lofty mansions? Your beds of ivory. By the way, that sounds like a painful bed to me. A bed of ivory. You look, and are you not? Do you not care what has happened? Verse. God says in He said, I'm going to destroy these things. I abhor the pride of Jacob. I hate his strongholds. I'll deliver the scene, all that's in there. Verse 12, you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. One of the great mistakes of humanity, and frankly, I think it's a mistake that we make a lot in our modern world, but reading here, you see we've always made it. I mean, I think of what Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. It is we can take such pride in our own cleverness, such pride in our own affluence, such pride in our own myth of self-sufficiency, that we have all that we need. And we have all that we need. So we can do what we want and act like we want to act and do what we want to do. Not caring about each other. Not caring about things that really matter. You've turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. What does he say in verse 24 last week? Chapter 5, verse 24. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. But it's see here that they have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood or a bitterness. So they are using their wealth and power to just have nothing to do with those in need and not even care. And then they're even using their justice to oppress the poor among them and to not care about the fate of each other. Our stuff can make us blind to true need. Our stuff can make us, our affluence, particularly those of us in middle class America, our relative affluence can make us think only of gathering more and getting more and making more and earning more and receiving more praise and more glory and more stuff. And it's an unending cycle. That doesn't make us happy. It doesn't make us happy. And hardens our heart against our purpose, which is to love God and love others. If we buy into the pride of our own self-sufficiency and of our own worth and separate ourselves from those around us, and we wind up lounging in our beds of ivory and eating lambs from the flock and singing idle songs, drinking wine from bowls, and we don't care about the needs all around us, whether they be physical needs or spiritual needs or emotional needs. We need to be careful. As we read when we read in Proverbs, it's the pride that goeth before the fall. And I think one of our greatest struggles sometimes is going to be to not, those of us that are middle class, those of us that have seemingly enough, is to focus on getting more instead of focus on loving more. And if we get more, but don't love more, then somebody once said, was it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? We need to be careful that we don't walk that path, because that's what happened to Israel, particularly these ones who it says were the said you were the though therefore they shall now be the first to go into exile. And the reverie of the lounger shall pass away. Let's be careful. This is a real danger for us. And that's why it's important for us to read the prophets, because they remind us of these things. They remind us of these things. Let's be really careful that we don't turn our desire for hard work, our desire for success, our desire to be good people into a type of pride that focuses only upon us getting more. because getting more will never satisfy. Loving more, loving God more, loving each other more will give life. So let's make sure we're spending our time on things that truly are life-giving, which is giving our life completely over to the kingdom of God for his purpose and his service, not simply seeking to get more ourselves. So these are the things that we struggle with, y'all. And it is a constant struggle. So let's make sure we're making wise decisions and seeking to love God with all that we are and guard ourselves against pride. Guard ourselves against pride. So God will continue this same line of thought next tomorrow. We look at one of the more famous passages in Amos, the plumb line. So we'll talk about that. So, thanks for being with us. We'll see you in the morning. Have a great day.